Welcome, everybody. Connor Wistoka here. This is 372 pages. We'll never get back. Episode 100. Mike, we have hit 100 episodes of this bad book podcast talk we do here.
This is only the beginning. I had always envisioned thousands of them, so I'm feeling rather fresh and young right now.
It's like one of those pictures of an iceberg where, you know, it shows how much of it is actually below the surface.
Yes.
That's what the depths we have yet to plumb.
That's right. No, it's exciting. 100.
It's now, that's
honestly,
when you start to get paid.
If I had asked you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would never would have guessed 100.
Right. I would not have expected the drivel and excitement that we would have found along the way.
I wanted to ask you as well, because a phenomenon has happened to me. I want to see if it happened to you. Is that after being in the Cozyverse, I kind of went the other way. And I've been, I got a barbed wire tattoo on my leg.
Yeah, a teardrop.
I'm listening
maybe.
To a lot of. Yes, a couple teardrops, although it's phony as hell.
Okay, you haven't actually murdered anybody?
I've killed one person.
Okay, the second one is fraudulent. That's,
yes.
I'll let it slide so I don't end up as number two.
I'm listening to Danish church-burning metal music.
Nice, yep, you got to burn a couple churches. It's, you know, it's you missed out on last summer, so that's you got to make up for lost time.
Yeah, I'm cooking something in a spoon right now. So it's weird how that happens.
You're a heroin addict then.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Well, that's can't endorse you? That, but no, I mean, I haven't. I just dabble. I don't think I'm addicted yet.
Oh, okay.
I'm not selling anyone else's possessions, just my own. I haven't stolen, you know. From
so you got it under control.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Okay.
Kind of embarrassed that you are unable to, frankly.
Oh, no, I'm not very cozy is what I'm saying.
Well, that's good. It's not really the time of year for it. It's hitting 90 here. It's hard to curl up a tea under a weighted blanket when the summer is about to hit Northern Virginia.
Far less quilting at this point in your life?
I'm not knitting any quilts, no. I'm not.
Oh, now you're just taunting.
No, but I'm excited to move out of the Cozyverse because, you know, as great as it was, I feel like there are just some things that it's unable to touch on. There are just things that are inappropriate for Cozyverse authors to do. As inappropriate as it was for them to talk about drug epidemics and the scourge of interstate highways, there's topics and fantastical worlds that they are unable to explore. So we might dip our toe back in later. I don't think anyone would object to that, but it is time to move on. And I think it worked out well that episode 100 is the launch of a brand new book.
And you're giving hints with fantastical worlds, are you?
Well,
like you just sneak that in there and move on.
That's my impression of this one. Yeah, I like teasing these out as long as we can. So why don't we just why don't we keep it going a bit longer? We've been doing the trend where we've done the Dwight David Thrashes, the Dale M. Courtneys, the Zook sisters, or what was it, the Lynch sisters, Devlin sisters.
Devlin, yeah, yeah.
They
Did you say Zook sisters?
Well, the one of them, I think the one, Debbie Devlin Zook is...
Right, okay. Yeah.
Anyway, but so we've intermingled those out there books, the Trucking Through Times, the Eye of Argon of the world, the outsider arts, I guess, with
yes.
major published works, whether they're bestsellers or not, but things that...
Things done by celebrity authors, in the case of your Sean Penn's.
Yes, but mostly, you know, things that a team of executives, agents, editors looked at and thought, good to go.
Yes.
And we've had a good time examining some of those and being like, how was this given the green light and Trucking Through Time languished on self-published shelves for decades until we discovered it.
No justice. No justice. I'm holding the book in my hand to tease it out a little further. I would say physically, this is one of the larger books. And that doesn't, I'm not talking about word count because that pages are rather Rather slim, I'd say.
Yes,
but it's got some heft to it. It feels good in the hand.
It does. It is. It's an impressive tome, and it looks like there was some, you know, obviously some effort put into it. There's a, you know, a some sort of like map or illustration on the inside cover. It's got some impressive impressive cover art. It's got, you know, even like fonts and stuff on the inside of it. So it was clearly something they rolled out thinking this was going to possibly be a one that was going to light the world on fire. And it doesn't appear that it was successful, because by all indications, it is currently out of print, which for a book that was not published that long ago is usually not a good sign. You know, it doesn't
by, especially by a person of some note.
Of renown, yeah.
Yes.
It's like, well, I don't know what it takes for something to go out of print these days, because, you know, trucking through time is not out of print. You know, you want one, they'll print one for you right away and send it to you.
Right. I think that pretty much every book is that way now, right? So to say out of print is kind of like the legend of the TV show that they pulled while it was on the air. You know, it's like they're doing something very deliberate.
Was that the Heather Graham one?
Oh, that's not the one I was thinking of, but I hope that that's true.
Emily's Reasons Why Not, I think. That was TV show. I think it was canceled while it was on the air, or maybe after one episode.
Nice. No, the one I'm thinking of was like done by the same guys who did... Remember Laugh-In? I mean, I know you don't remember it, but you know of it.
Aware of it, yeah.
They had some other kooky show, and they got so many phone calls while it was airing. They're like, look, just pull the plug.
Even Richard Nixon was like, please. Like,
this is not for me.
But so, yeah, we've got this exciting book, and I went through and compiled some of the reactions to it. Which are usually indicative of whether we're going to be a good fit for this show. But Amazon has only 167 ratings and an average of 4 stars, which not necessarily indicative, because I'm pretty sure that, you know, Ready Player One and Two have average ratings of 4 stars.
Right.
But then I went into Goodreads, and that's where the magic is for this one. I'm not sure what the difference is between Amazon and Goodreads these days. I know they're all, you know, Goodreads is owned by Amazon, but Goodreads has 2,700 reviews for this book.
My goodness.
And it is stunningly evenly distributed. It looks like one of those things where, you know, like when you do statistics, they keep an eye out to see if you're like gaming the thing, because this one is like 21% have 5 stars. 21% have 3 stars, and 21% have 1 star.
What?
And then it's like 18 and 17%, 4 and 5. So it is a perfect distribution. It looks like, it seems suspicious to me, but I think, as we'll see, though, not all the 5-star reviews are because it's a Pulitzer-worthy book.
No, the 5-star reviews are Three Moon Wolf or whatever.
Yes, exactly.
Three Wolf Moon shirts.
Right. Yes. 20-gallon jug of wolf urine for your garden type of thing.
Yes, exactly.
But yeah, so I pulled some of them. This is one. This is the worst book I've ever read. The worst book. I've read The Sword of Shannara and Sky O'Malley, and this is the worst book. I can't even believe this book exists. I don't know what those two books are. I know Shannara is sort of a fantasy series people sort of make fun of. I have no idea what Sky O'Malley is.
I've never heard of that. Our own Sean Thomason, I think, talks about the first one there.
He talks about it because, yeah, there was someone else that we was part of our circle at some point in time that was really into that. And Sean was like,
yes.
And then he leaves. He's like, that's the worst fantasy series there is. Like, even fantasy nerds aren't into that garbage. Sky O'Malley is by Beatrice Small, a courageous seafaring captain of her own mighty fleet. I don't know. Seems kind of a weird one to loop into to this comparison right here, but whatever.
Yeah. We could give them a couple suggestions when they need to do another analogy like that.
But this person says, it really seems like, this is a different review, it really seems like a piece someone would write and then post to the internet, not a published book. And that is from a 5-star review. So,
what?
Like you said, yeah, they're amused by it, and that was why they gave it 5 stars. Which for us, you know, that's as good as it gets. Here's another one with a sort of the Sky O'Malley phenomenon. Someone you wouldn't expect to come up in the review of this book. Okay, let's face it. Book name redacted might possibly be one of the biggest literary train wrecks ever. If author redacted, was not famous with bigger name recognition than Madeleine Albright, then this book would have hopefully never been published.
That is... Oh, when we reveal the name of this author, you will find how odd that is.
If that, so that's like, what was the show where it would say, like, is it bigger than a bread box?
Yes.
It's that, so that's my measuring stick from now on. Is this person more or less famous than Madeleine Albright?
When I was a kid, bread boxes were obviously not around still. Mm-hmm. And so when people would say that, it utterly baffling, like, why are you making up a word right. to compare? Is that the? And I always puzzled it out. Like, that must be the point of it. Like, bigger than a thing that doesn't exist.
Right. Sure.
Like, how many angels on the head of a pin, kind of thing.
Heck yeah,
like,
it's a yeah. That was a Zen riddle, is what they were trying to give you. What is the sound of one bread box closing?
Yes, but then one day I realized that my beloved grandmother, somewhere tucked in her kitchen, had. And I never knew what it was, had a bread box. So she referred one time, like, it's in the bread box. Like, what the hell is that?
It was the bread box is next to the Davenport. Yes. You can go down the hall to the Johnny if you need to.
She would, yes. And then I'd put on one of my pullovers and wash my teeth before bed.
Oh, my God. Oh. Wash your teeth?
That's what she would say.
Wow. With your tooth powder?
My uncle who bequeathed me the poop house, which we'll have to tell that story sometime.
I'm pretty sure we did. I think that okay, I think people are nodding knowingly okay. at the mention of your uncle's poop house.
Okay, good. I'm not sure where I meet that story.
Right, out. Exactly. It's been 100 exactly, episodes.
Doesn't flatter me. So, but yeah, he had tooth powder, of course.
My grandfather who had it, who called it the Davenport, I mean, they had a jar of candy next to their easy chair that was in the same room as the Davenport that would either have, Brock's gum drops, spice drops, or just licorice all sorts. It was like they were just leaning into it.
And what did he call the thing that kept your food cold, the large appliance?
Well, when we would go over there and she wasn't going to cook, we would have clean the icebox night.
Okay.
That was just eating the leftovers.
I was flipping a coin, Frigidaire or Icebox?
Oh, Frigidaire. Brand name Icebox like that?
All right, well, we've gone astray.
Bless their souls. Here's another one. I read it in one day. Why? Because it's such a train wreck, I couldn't actually stop. That's the first mention of train wreck. Here's another one. If this book doesn't win the Pulitzer and Man Booker Prize, as well as author name redacted, not being a Nobel laureate, I swear to God, I will cut a bitch. Flawless, better than J.K. Rowling, etc. That was all one review. That's how they ended it. And then this was my favorite. This guy just said, reading this book is like this. And then he posted this GIF. I'm sure you've seen it. I'm going to try to describe it. It's like a long-haired hippie. He looks like he could be British, opening a door. And then he just gives the most expressive reaction, like, whoa! Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Okay, so everyone can picture that GIF. That's what this guy said reading this book is like. So if that doesn't get you excited, I don't know what will.
I'm just picking one out at random, and you might have it there on your list as well. But after reading the first chapter online for free, well, it makes a Stephanie Meyer book look like a masterpiece.
Oh, my God.
No kidding. I might be being harsh, but really, go see for yourself here if you dare. And then a nice little link to the free chapter.
Wow. Well, we probably should have read that first chapter. If it's worse than Stephanie Meyer, we have it in for us. But I think it's going to be weirder than that, certainly. I don't think it's going to be as much, listening to Linkin Park in your car and stuff like that.
No. I think that's the other thing about this book is that it's insane. Yes. Like, that's why we chose it. People say the word insane and mind-blowing comes up a lot. So.
Well, that's good. That's what we read these for.
Yes,
we don't.
Yeah,
we,
exactly.
We read them for the decisions that the noted famous person author has made. And I didn't get too far into it. I don't know whether they were, writing it themselves, whether, a lot of these people probably have ghostwriters out there when, Snooki or Hillary Duff or, the Situation writes a book. you figure like they're probably not actually doing it, but it seems like this person probably might have actually written this book themselves. So,
at least that was the PR push around it when I read it. Yeah, but I knew a person, I knew several people actually who did that kind of stuff, the ghostwriting for celebs.
Yeah,
one was for cookbooks, and the other was just for whatever, you know. Maybe it was Sean Penn. I don't know.
Right.
But could not tell me a single one, like knew them well. Like, come on, you know, I'm not going to say anything. Like, well, my non-disclosure agreement is very solid on this.
Wow.
One. And it just seemed like, come on, you got to slip me one. What's going to happen?
Right.
You know, it's out there somewhere. It's not going to come from me.
Well, let's just
but
say
nope,
that
was never able to find
Abe
out.
Vigoda might be very disappointed if I broke this NDA. I'll leave it at that.
That's right.
Well, yeah. So, do we need to dance around it anymore? Should we get into this? Oh, well, I'll read you the note that came to me. This is how we'll get to
okay,
this.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good one.
Every now and then, there's someone out there on the internet who asks me for my address, and I have to sort of be like, but you know, usually they it's pretty much people that either tell me what they're going to send me, or there's someone that I vaguely trust enough to do it. And you know I'm not going to get, you know, no one's trying to impress Jodie Foster by mailing me a bomb or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're not going to get rice and gas.
I'm not at that level
in a box. Yeah.
But so this person asked me for the address recently. Wanted to send us these books. The other two times I can remember giving it out to a rando on the internet. One time I had posted a picture of a Garfield cartoon where like Garfield puts up a centerfold of like a hot cat, sort of like doing a swimsuit model thing. And this guy printed out like he like rastered the image or whatever so that to make it non-pixelated and sent me an actual, the printout of that Garfield, swimsuit model cat.
Which, okay.
Funny, you know, that sort of ties in here. And then, another time a guy asked me for my address, Riff Tracks fan, and he sent me a couple of Corgi bath towels, like hand towels. That paid off as well too. And this time it continued paying off. We got a letter from a listener named Owen Dammit Boy McClintic.
Nice.
He said, let me start by saying I'm very grateful for the podcast. I'm sure many have said before, but it certainly helped me through this wild year, so thank you. Unfortunately, all I can offer in thanks is the most bizarre book I have ever read. It's Eye of Argon Levels of Bewildering. It manages to be a singular piece of fiction, all the while ripping off the plot points of the Harry Potter books. You don't have to have a deep knowledge of America's top model lore, but it won't help. At least Google smize before you read. I hope you all have a opportunity to do this book on the podcast. It will be a doozy. And he sent two like pristine, untouched, you know, it doesn't look like the spine has been cracked, hardcover copies of Model Land by Tyra Banks.
And let me just say, I mean, Tyra Banks, first of all, but $17.99
for the
cost of this thing.
Right.
So I'm just putting that in Owen Dammit Boy's favor there.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, he could have got these out of one of those little free libraries or something. They might have just been unloading these like you do day old bagels.
It could be. But yeah, exciting. Tyra Banks.
Yeah.
About whom, let's test our knowledge.
Let's do it.
Tyra Banks is, I think, considered a supermodel.
Yep.
She had a talk show.
This is where you start to lose me. Had, might have.
Might
have the, you know, second highest rated talk show in daytime TV right at this point in time. I'm not sure.
She's on Grey's Anatomy and has been for 25 years.
Right.
No, I don't know anything about this person.
Yeah, this is sort of, you get into this world of celebrity where, you know, in my mind, someone like the Kardashians are still famous for nothing, whereas the reality is they've had, you know, the most successful reality show on TV for 15 years now.
Right, right. And you know, $1 million per tweet has been going on for 20 years. You know?
Yes. So I think Tyra's at that level. And this was a book she wrote, well, definitely while she still had her talk show and while Top Model was on the air in 2011, I believe, is when it came out. So again, it's been a decade and it's somehow out of print.
I'll throw some, this I think is some knowledge about her, but it could be about some other person. It could be about Jimmy Carter or Amy Carter. I don't know.
Tyra Banks was attacked by an enormous swimming rabbit.
Rabbit, yes. And she pronounces it nuclear, despite being a nuclear scientist. No, this is that she's got kind of a temper, or that she's really strange or something.
Okay.
I mean, it's not unusual for a model to have kind of but I think that she's kind of an oddball is kind of known. So that bodes well is what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, definitely. If this is how she gets to reveal those tendencies to the world instead of the, composed outward, like Ellen DeGeneres facade that everyone is sort of familiar with from a talk show, this is her chance to cut loose, I guess.
Right. Right. Or that thing that, did you ever have friends who, I was in the theater world, and there would be these theater girls who would... they would say, tomorrow is just going to be rough for me, so just stay clear of me because I'm just going to be horrible. Like, well, you don't get to say that.
Right, yes.
No, you're not. I'm not going to allow you to, so stop it.
So that's probably models and theater are probably some crossover here.
Mm-hmm.
Tyra Banks was also on the cover of the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue when was something that would come to my house in high school, when that was sort of like that was a monumental time back in.
Wait,
back
you
in the
got
mid-90s.
To have the?
Oh yeah, that was got... like that was you know
what?
I mean, it came with your subscription, so it was legitimate somehow.
Wow.
But she was, I think, the first black woman on the cover of that. So groundbreaking. I believe I hoarded those things. Those were like, actually, my parents just gave me a box of comic books, just because we have our own, a lot more space now. And I was going through that one and found one of the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issues tucked into that box, along with two Victoria's Secret catalogs. So my eighth grade hiding place was finally revealed.
I think it was in junior high. There was like a little library section for the lame little, sad junior high that sat next to the high school and in my small town. And in that library, they had Sports Illustrated. But then I remember when the superintendent would walk in, like it was a John Hughes movie, and remove the swimsuit issue.
Silently, everyone.
Yeah, he was a very stern
echoing.
Figure. Yes. She was on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. I'm just looking at in her bio.
A recurring character or just a...
Began acting on the sitcom Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
All right. Well,
in 1993.
She was the eighth Aunt Viv that they cast. Aunt Viv was a character that was cast multiple times on the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
She was in Disney's Life Size, and she was in... I remember her as Zoe in the box office hit Coyote Ugly.
Oh, of course. Yeah. That was the film version of the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue when I was in college. That was just okay enough that you were allowed to go see it. It's going to read the plot summary here, and then a little of her inspiration for it. This just says, a young, awkward-looking girl by the name of Tuki de la Creme, we're off to a hell of a start, is invited to attend the legendary boarding school Model Land for a chance to join the Intoxabellas, the most celebrated models in the world. Along the way, she meets a plus-size girl named Dylan, a 4'7", Wikipedia adds 140 centimeters, girl named Shiraz, and an albino girl named Piper. Together, they form a strong bond as they face the trials and tribulations of Model Land and endeavor to find the truth about why they were all accepted to it, and why a mysterious imposter seems to want nothing more than for them to be gone.
Hmm.
So, yeah.
What is Model Land?
Model Land is a legendary boarding school. So I think that's where the Hogwarts comparisons are coming in.
Okay, so on the back cover, where it says, beauty is in the smize of the beholder, ...
Yes.
And then is that supposed to be Model Land? I know we're talking about something you can't see, and I apologize for that.
Sure, but. Yeah. It's got an eye under this fancy-looking skyscraper school that looks sort of fantastical. It's very the cover's also reminiscent of the classic Great Gatsby cover with the...
I was going to say that would be a hint for everyone before we did it, but I thought that might be too on the nose, because it's very Gatsby-ish.
Yeah, it's T.J. Eckelberg on the cover. Smize, I don't know. I'd never heard that term until last year. My mom used it to describe, you know, when you were wearing a mask and you could tell someone was smiling still because your eyes looked different.
Oh, that's a word she didn't make up? I thought it was like...
My mom might be quoting Tyra Banks on that, so...
Okay. It sounds like Dickensian or something, you know, like like mashing words together and make a funny name or something. I don't know.
Please, sir, may I get some more Smize? Smize?
Damn you, Smize.
But this is sort of the classic idea that any person who's ever had a creative thought in their life hates to have is, where do you get your ideas? And so this is Tyra Banks answered that question. It says that the inspiration for Model Land happened one day while she was driving down a street in New York City. She had been thinking about why supermodels are super, and the idea of Model Land came to mind. So there you go.
Wow. Your where do you get your ideas thing is a utterly failed joke that they do on Norm MacDonald podcast with Adam Egget. Every time a celebrity is on, he's like, Adam has a question for you. They go to Adam, and he's a terrible actor, and he'll go, where do you get your ideas? And to the man, all of them are just like,
what?
They don't get it as a joke. Right. They don't find it funny. They just try to suffer through it.
Right, yeah.
And neither one on the other, neither Norm nor Adam, you know, will acknowledge that we were just trying to be jerks.
Right. If your joke depends on, like, Larry King having listened to the previous three seasons of your podcast to understand it's a running joke, it's probably not going to work.
Yes. Oh, their commitment to it is admirable. Definitely. Or repulsive, depending on how you...
So that's probably what some people have to say about this this podcast 100 episodes in.
Yep. This might be the time. 100 is a place to pull the plug.
No way. That's where you start to get that sweet syndication money in TV.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. It's like when people ask me about series, like, should I watch this series, you know, like a long running, should I binge this or whatever? Mm-hmm. I always think you should start at season two.
Okay.
One is usually a throwaway. They're trying to write their way into the series. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yep. I think people would.
That's where I feel we are, the first 100. we're just getting our sea legs under us.
Right. Well, it's just the impenetrable jargon that someone must have when we're like, well, this one's sort of DDT-esque, but you get some Charles E. Harris, you know.
Right. It's argony in a way, you know.
Using slang abbreviations for an author that 0.0001% of the population is aware of. That's why we're turning down calls from podcast networks and advertisers.
Right. We have a nose for money, that's for sure.
Anything else to say about this as we approach the half hour mark talking about a book that we've yet to crack the spine of?
No, I'm pretty excited about it, I have to say. It doesn't seem like reading-wise it'll be that much of a burden.
No.
And given the amount of reviews for it on Goodreads, I'm excited that a bunch of people got through it. So it's not like it was not tossed across the room, you know, like a Sean Penn book.
Exactly, yeah. It's not going to be the Shadow Moon effect of longing for death as you read it. I think it's going to be one where you just are excited to see what kind of, you know, nuts thing is going to happen the next time you turn a page. And yeah, it's a large book, but it does have a you know, young adult font size, which is a relief to see. I've not seen a word count, but we'll have to do that before we post the first assignment.
Yeah, and I think it came up, but the final thing, and people are probably yelling at us, like, I think she's most famous for years for America's Next Top Model, right?
Yes, I think that was her reality competition.
Which I think was a huge hit and lasted for a long time.
We
didn't focus on that, but I'm aware of that.
So. God, when you start to type it, it just says America's Next Top Model season 20, season 20 winner. So
wow,
again, it's a show that is, you know, has its own lore, just like this podcast does. It's ran from 315 episodes.
And all with her?
I'm not sure. It ran from 2003 to 2018.
Created by?
Yeah.
Wow.
She was the host for, or the judge for, all 23 of the 24 seasons. Was a guest on season 23. Don't know what the story is there. Maybe that's what she...
She could buy and sell our ass like 20 million times over, but she can't keep her book from going out of print.
That's a very good question.
You just keep it in print.
I'm not sure what to make of that, but it does seem like you should go out there and buy a copy of it now, because they're very affordable on Amazon right now, used. Who knows how that will change as this gets out there. But that's a bonus for you Patreon folk who are listening right now. You get to go out there and maybe buy a couple and resell them, flip them to non-Patreon people on the side. That could be a side hustle.
And for you, before we go, for you aspiring authors out there, as you're selling a book, make sure to tell when you're on, a talk show or whatever, my book is very affordable right now. So that'll be a thing that people appreciate. So, looking forward to it.
Yeah. Model Land, Tyra Banks, buy it up, smize it up, and we'll have an assignment for you in the text of this. But thanks to all the Patreon supporters who got this announcement for everybody. We're looking forward to our 17th book on the podcast and our next 100 episodes.